With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
An hour away, that game will be on our station, 97.3 The Fan.
Absolutely. You can go down and enjoy the Thursday night party, and then if you need to get out of there, you listen to the second half right here on the radio.
Yeah, you can get some good food. Bubs is the wings are legit, so treat yourself. We are lucky to be joined by we had a little bit of a San Diego connection here. Doug Gottlieb called the game, the USD San Diego State game last night, and unfortunately our Aztecs lost. But Doug, how you doing today?
Great, man. There's no losers when San Diego beats San Diego State. I mean, I guess there were losers.
Yeah, good point.
I guess San Diego State losing at home for the first time since 2000.
Yeah,
you know, hadn't lost the Toronto's indoors since 2000. So
yeah, unfortunately, Doug, I was there for that game, and it wasn't a pretty game in 2000.
The 2000 game.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, you were there for that game. I'm sorry. What was the atmosphere like last night? I mean, was it a little dead? Were the Aztecs a little dead? I mean, take us courtside and give us a little feel for how you thought the Aztecs came out.
The atmosphere wasn't typical for, you know, for Viejas. It wasn't great. A little disappointing considering it is San Diego, and San Diego's pretty good this year. Man, an amazing rainbow on the 405. Holy cow. Hold on. Sorry, it's been pouring. I don't know. Is it still raining down there?
Yep, it's still raining.
Oh man, you're more than welcome to point that out. Love that stuff,
dude. Well, I mean, we've had like flood warnings, and my kids' school, some of the schools around here were like closed because of, you know, no one planned for this much rain at Orange County Public Schools. Anyway, where was I last night? Yeah, it was kind of dead. I mean, bunch of rain, you know, midweek game. San Diego hadn't beaten them in forever. So, yeah, it was kind of dead, but that's not why they lost. I mean, they had a 7-point lead at the half, and I thought San Diego State didn't take advantage of San Diego really struggling offensively in the first half. That 7-point lead probably should have been 15. Mm. And then, you know, Jalen McDaniels had a flagrant one in the first half, a technical in the second half. And eventually he fouled out. That kind of threw him off his game. And then I thought just San Diego just outplayed him. You know, they had their own foul trouble. Kid Isaiah Pinheiro, the fifth-year senior, he played really well. But then he got foul trouble, and he had four, you know, with like, I don't know what it was, nine to go. And the game was tied, and they want to run without him. So I thought San Diego just did a better job of executing their offense, really shrinking the court defensively, making San Diego State's non-shooters make shots. And you know, San Diego State got a little selfish, looked a little immature offensively, and then got beat up a little bit in the offensive boards defensively, and you end up getting beat by, I think, a good San Diego team.
Yeah, that team led by only three seniors seemed like they played a young version of basketball last night. Tell us a little bit about this USD team. We know a little bit about it. Obviously, this team is much improved over the years past. What did you see from them last night that might have been impressive?
Well, I mean, first, you know, I think Sam Scholes, of course, got the job. And you hire from within, you end up keeping everybody. But there's always going to be questions about whether or not, you know, he can actually do the job. I thought he did a great job with the kids. He really is the staff coach. If you guys haven't seen Isaiah Pinheiro play, Puerto Rican kid who went to junior college for a year, gray-shirted, then went to Portland State, transferred from Portland State. He's just gotten better every year. He's built like a brick, you know, White House, kind of a face-up four-man in college basketball, and I thought he did a good job. Probably key to their game was Isaiah Wright took over a little bit late. You know, another senior, he's a transfer from Utah. So, you know, you got a couple transfers, older kids, and then they had his freshman, a kid from Torrey Pines, Finn Sullivan. He was great, you know. Hit his first three of his college career, made a couple free throws, got a couple offensive rebounds, couple assists. I thought he really, really helped. You know, played for played for Coach Olive over at Torrey Pines. So Sam's doing a good job. They're a good team. And for San Diego State, you know, their issue is they got three guys that can score, McDaniels, Mitchell, and, you know, you got a point guard who, in Devin Watson, who's a fifth-year senior, and he shot the ball well, but to hold the ball that much, to handle the ball that much, only had three assists, you know, playing 40 minutes, he never came out of the court. He's got to move the ball more, or you got to move him off the basketball. So I don't think they have enough shot creators, and they have like three shot makers. So it's still a work in progress, but I do think San Diego State has a chance to really improve in Mountain West play.
They did it last year, and that's certainly going to be the hope this year. Doug Gottlieb is with us afternoons here on 97.3 The Fan. Called the Aztecs-Torero game last night. I want to stick with the Toreros also because Gonzaga's in their conference, and obviously we saw what Gonzaga did. They beat Duke, so, I mean, that gives them all the cachet in the world. How real of a number one team in the nation, though, do you really think Gonzaga is? And staying on the West Coast, it surprises me to see Nevada so high in the rankings. Not that they're not good, but usually the East Coast and the rest of the writers and people don't recognize teams from the West Coast this early in the season. So you got two teams really top five, Gonzaga and Nevada. Tell me a little bit about those two and what you think they can do.
Well, let's start with Gonzaga. I mean, yeah, they're number one team. They're legit. I mean, I think they broke through to legitimacy a couple years ago when they played for a national championship game and lost by a bucket.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they beat Washington last night, winning out in Maui. You know, it wasn't just Duke that they beat. I mean, you had to beat three good teams in order to beat Duke. So, you know, they're deep. They're experienced. They've been playing without Killian Tilly, one of their best, you know, face-up four or five men. Like, they're actually going to get better and more talented. And so, then you look at Nevada, and they had the Martin twins back. They're 23 years old. They have Jordan Caroline, that's Simeon Rice's son, kid who's going to turn 23 here this month. And their starting lineup is all 22 and older. And then you bring Jazz Johnson, a shooter off the bench, who's also 22, 23 years old. They're just a group of young, they're men. You know, and in college basketball these days, the old adage is get old, stay old.
Yeah.
And Nevada is fortunate to have guys that are good enough to be borderline pros, but not good enough to be legitimate first-round draft picks. And so, you know, you end up getting them to hang around for another year. And I think they're a very, very good team. I think they're balanced. I think they have, you know, better interior play this year than they had last year. I think they got better shooting off the bench than they had last year. And, you know, I also don't think they have any agendas. You know, they don't have any guys playing for anything. With the exception maybe of Caleb Martin, he gets a little selfish sometimes. But so Gonzaga and Nevada are legit. And remember, you can't compare them to, like, San Diego State when they went to the Sweet 16 or, you know, Arizona a couple years ago. They don't have to beat those teams. They only have to beat the teams this year. And college basketball saw, you know, a tremendous exodus to the NBA last year. And so, you know, you have teams like Kentucky, they're almost starting all over.
Yeah.
So young teams going against teams of 22, 23-year-old kids. The older team is almost always going to win, especially early in the season. But, you know, Gonzaga is legit, and I think they'll be good the entire season.
Doug, before we let you get out of here, I got to hear your take on KD's comments about LeBron because, one, I respect your basketball mind so much, but I want to hear what you think about it.
I don't think he's wrong. I think it's hard to play with LeBron. you know,
there's some truth to it then.
They just, Oh, yeah. I mean, look, man, end of the game, he's going to have the ball. Now, you may get to shoot it, but you're going to get it when he decides to give it to you.
Right.
And that's just kind of the way it goes. And if you don't win, it's going to be on you, not on him. Like, and you don't believe me, go back and look at all the times he didn't win. Nobody, very few people were ever like, hey, you know, LeBron could have been better here, could have been better there.
Yeah, it's usually blamed on Kevin Love or Chris Bosh.
Correct. And that's what happened, especially the third guy. Second guy, not necessarily as much third guy. But I think LeBron, he may brush it off as like, oh, it's taken out of context or whatever. I honestly think he hears it, he knows it, and he's trying to be a better teammate. If you watch him,
he is.
First three quarters of last night, he's trying to move the ball. He's trying to play within an offense. He doesn't guard like he used to. He doesn't move like he used to, but he's become an unbelievable shot maker, which he wasn't always. Like, he's always been just a bigger, stronger athlete, skilled with the ball, you know, playing what's called downhill, going towards the basket. Now he's become a lot more skilled, making fadeaways, making step-back threes. You know, his skill has really increased as his athleticism has decreased some. But if you watch, you know, last night, he was moving the ball. He was letting those young guys, go ahead, fellas, show me what you got. And then, you know, they're down, what was it, I don't know, eight late. And then he comes in, he's like, all right, you know, hop on my back, let's go win a game. And he has 19 in the last 10 and a half minutes in the fourth quarter. But I don't think KD, you know, look, KD's not wrong either with fanboys in the media. There's some guys that no matter how. But it works the other way, too. There's some haters in the media that, if you play well, he doesn't give you respect. If you play poorly, guys don't crush him. It's a weird, we're in this weird, because there's so many debate shows, nobody's willing to go like, hey, you know, the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Right?
It's got to be
like,
one or the other.
He's not the closer that Michael Jordan, he hasn't shown the ability to be the closer that Michael Jordan was. You know, he just hasn't. On the other hand, there are things that he does that Mike didn't do or couldn't do. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's actually getting better as a closer, as a shooter, as his career goes on. Like, no player stays the same. And but we've gotten to this point where I think maybe KD didn't articulate it well enough, which is, like, there are guys that, because of the things that he's done off the court, he's earned so much equity. And because of some of the things he's done on the court, he's earned so much equity, they'll never criticize him. And I think that's where KD has this, he wants so badly to be liked, and yet he wants to be real at the same time. And those two things don't often coincide.
No, I think we saw that with Kobe Bryant. I think he got to a point where he just didn't care what anybody thought, and whether they liked it or not, he was going to be who he is. I don't know if KD has quite turned that corner. It seems like he's trying, though. You're right, Doug.
Yeah, and the weird thing about Kobe is now, post-career, I do think Kobe wants to be liked and enamored, and he wants to be revered for, you know, his Kobe is my, I really believe that.
Yeah.
And,
I think we lost Doug.
Well, he's driving like it sounds like in a
rainstorm. Right.
So I'm glad he's, I'd almost rather him be off the phone and safe.
So he can concentrate. Oh,
okay.
Up. There he is. You're all right.
Sorry.
You're back. No worries.
Sorry.
Hey, understood.
We've gotten to this place where it's raining again, by the way, in Orange County.
Yes, I can hear it.
We do get to this place post-career where we forget about all that stuff, right?
Yeah, we do.
Like, Kobe, A-Rod, Shaq, you name it. Like, nobody, once you're done playing, like, we don't care. You're like, oh, yeah, you were great. You're in the great former athlete club, and we'll let you pretend like the bad times didn't exist. But I do think that in the moment, KD struggling with, you know, wanting to be real and wanting to be liked, and those two things don't always coexist.
Awesome take.
They don't. Last thing, Doug, thank you so much for sending a very kind note to our boss, Adam Klug, after Georgia lost, because he was down and out, and I think the note you sent really picked him up and kind of helped.
He tried to play it off like he was just checking on me. No, he was talking. He was talking some noise to you there, Adam. You just didn't respond.
No. Listen, I was legit checking on him.
Oh, like, you were? Okay.
I don't think there isn't anything outside of my family on earth I love like Adam Klug loves his dog. People make fun of like the whole SEC, it just means more thing, but it does just mean more.
Yeah.
Like that is
true
and
story.
The fact that they can't beat Alabama, I don't know if you guys listen to my show coming in, but what's his name? Linebacker from the New York Giants on earlier today. He was a Ram previously, and he's a
Ogletree.
Alec Ogletree. We had Alec Ogletree on. Like I mentioned the Georgia game, and like all of a sudden you can hear his voice completely change.
Huh.
Like, look, here's a dude who's an All Pro in the National Football League. You know, he plays for the Giants. He played last year for the Rams. Like, he was a superstar at Georgia. They lost in the SEC championship game. And you could just hear him say, like, dude, we just can't beat those guys. And, anybody who's ever had a nemesis in life understands that. Like, whether it's your high school, whether you're a little kid, you know, on your block, or in your professional life, you know, there's a rival and then there's a nemesis. For Georgia, their rival is Auburn. Their nemesis is Alabama. They just can't get over Alabama. And so, honestly, I just want to make sure he was alive, that he was okay, because between 2012 and then the Super Bowl with the Falcons, 28-3 choke job, and then this deal, up two touchdowns, taking a chip shot to go up 17, three scores, good night, drive home safely, and they miss the kicker with the goggles misses the kick. I mean, and then, you know, Jalen Hurts comes in, rides in on a white horse, and wins. I felt bad for him.
Well, we haven't we have steered cleared of him pretty much all week.
We've left him
alone. Hey, Doug, thanks for the time. Thanks for the great job you do in the afternoons. Love listening to you, and it's great being a part of the same station you're on. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, and drive safe.
No problem, fellas. See you.
Thanks, Doug.
All right, Doug.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.